How artificial intelligence gave a paralyzed woman her voice back. Zuckerberg and Friedman record a metaverse podcast and the open AI phone. This is AI for Everyone, a weekly roundup of the top stories in AI and tech for non-tech people who want to keep an ear out for the latest developments in the AI universe. I'm Miles Dillon and I've been studying AI since 2014. And this quick podcast keeps you informed and educated about the changes and opportunities coming to our working environment brought about by artificial intelligence. Researchers at UC San Francisco and UC Berkeley, that's like University of California, have developed a new brain-computer interface system that allows people with paralysis to communicate through a digital avatar that resembles a person and give the voice of that person as well. The system decodes brain signals into speech and facial expressions and can decode as many as 80 words per minute, which is a massive improvement over the 14 words per minute that the current communication devices deliver, which you may have seen something like Stephen Hawking using, which is still what people are using right now, pretty much. The system was tested on a woman called Anne who suffered a brainstem stroke in 2005 that's left her paralyzed since then, unable to talk to her husband. There's a video on YouTube. You can check it out if you check out UC Berkeley brain interface system. She got paralyzed from a stroke. She had like an 18-month-old child and a 9-year-old child. She just got married. Man, the story's wild. This is a massive breakthrough in computer interfaces and has the potential to revolutionize the way people with paralysis communicate and interact with the world around them. Now, the way it works is they implant a paper-thin rectangle into her brain, like inside her skull, that has 253 little electrodes on the surface of her skull over the area where the brain uses for critical speech. The electrodes intercept the brain signals that would have gone to Anne's speech muscles if it was not for her stroke. Now, Anne, working with this team, has trained the AI system to recognize these brain signals and decode which ones do which sounds and words. And you can imagine some people trying to figure that out. It's just not going to happen, is it? But when you feed all of that data into a sort of learning algorithm, they sort of repeated to her 1,024 words to her, sort of regular conversational phrases. And the computer would then recognize the brain signals triggering off of these different phrases. And from that, they basically create this code that when her brain signals trigger, it's able to give the speech out. And it's the first time that her and her husband have had a conversation with each other since 2005. Man, it's totally wild. I love this story. I love what's going on with it because there's so much stuff in tech, Silicon Valley, AI stuff, where people are saying we really want to impact the world. We want to change the world. We want to do good things. And the reality is, I think the people do generally want to do good stuff. I generally feel like people are good. But also, I'm like, you just want to be a billionaire, don't you? You want to do like the tech billionaire thing. But I actually feel like this is one of those lovely stories where you think, AI is actually doing something quite amazing. And this lady, Anne, is now trained to be a therapist and to do therapy with other people who experience stroke and lose their use of their muscles and their ability to speak. So she actually is going to be able to do that now, especially because she'll be able to host those therapy sessions over a Zoom call. Now, in a similar kind of vein, in the sort of avatar creation sphere, we've got Lex Friedman, the huge podcaster. I think it's one of the most popular podcasts in the world, most downloaded podcasts in the world, doing an interview with Mark Zuckerberg. I think this is about the third or fourth interview he's done with Mark Zuckerberg, but they did one a while ago in the metaverse and it kind of looked whack, like they just look like cartoon characters. But this one, Lex Friedman, when he comes on to the podcast, his video podcast as well, the first thing he's saying is just like, wow, oh man. And he says, this is really the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And when you watch it, it is kind of wild-like as well. It's obviously in a totally different vein to the story I just did before, but it's kind of like creating a digital avatar or creating ability to be able to speak to each other in a digital way. The Meta Connect thing was kind of dead this year. Meta Connect is when Facebook, Meta do their like announcements for stuff that's happening this year. There wasn't really anything to report there. This is the real big story about Meta at the moment, this kind of codec avatar that Zuckerberg and Lex Friedman have done. So the avatars capture really subtle facial expressions and body language, inducing this like incredible sense of presence and intimacy. Now, when you see the video, it really looks like the two guys are in the same room together. Zuckerberg envisions people using these as sort of photorealistic avatars for remote work, meetings, gaming, social interactions. And I do really think that this is a change because, you know, we speak to friends in different places, speak to our friends in America sometimes, and I would love to put this on and be able to see them in this way. I think it would really change the game of being able to do a Zoom call sometimes or a FaceTime with someone. Sometimes you're like, what's the point of FaceTiming? Because you can't really catch the jokes, a bit of a delay, and you can't see the facial expression for the sort of catching of the jokes. But this really changes it to next level. Not really tons more to say about this other than I think it is important to know about because it is a huge step forward in the Zoom world. If you spend a lot of time on Zoom, you spend a lot of time in Zoom meetings, this really is a big deal for you. I think you really need to look at this and see that this is the way that our online meetings are going to go. And if you are in the zone where you're like, Zoom meetings don't really work, I prefer to be in person, this could tip you over the edge and make you feel like, oh, maybe I could do more of my meetings on Zoom. If you're in the other camp where you're like, I want to do all my meetings on Zoom, you are going to love this. It's going to make your work so much better. Sam Altman and Johnny Ive. Johnny Ive is Apple's former chief design officer from 1997 to like 2015 or something like that. And Sam Altman, obviously the CEO of OpenAI, have reportedly been in discussions to build the iPhone of artificial intelligence. The project's still in its early stages, but the duo aim to create a device that provides, and I quote, a more natural and intuitive user experience to interact with artificial intelligence. The project is reportedly being funded by SoftBank CEO Mahoshi Sun, who has also pushed for chip design company Arm to play a central role. Mahoshi Sun is obviously a massive investor in Arm, and apparently there's $1 billion on the table to get this off the ground. Ive has previously expressed concerns about compulsive behavior related to smartphone usage, so the device could be designed to be less reliant on screens. And Sam Altman already has some experience with that. He's got investments in a company called Humane, which is a hardware and software startup developing screenless wearable AI devices designed to replace smartphones. So it could be something in that sphere. I think it's a cool project. I'm curious to see what Ive and Altman come up with. Obviously, Johnny Ive is like a total design icon. But how could they muscle in on the Android and Apple market, you might be thinking? I don't know. Do you remember BlackBerrys? Or if you're old enough, do you remember Nokias with the snake game on the phone? Man, they are gone. They are totally gone. And they got replaced by Google and Apple. If there's $1 billion funding on the table and say that search is going away now that ChatGPT and these other chat-related search models can search the internet, can you imagine if Google lose search? Imagine if you just no longer use Google and you just use ChatGPT instead. Then that gives them quite a lot of power to say, why don't you use our phone? Or what if search goes away from the iPhone and the Android? And everybody wants to use OpenAI, but you can only use the OpenAI app on an OpenAI phone. That really changes the game quite a lot. And Google are struggling hard to try and hold on to it. I don't think it was much of a coincidence that Google leaked its new Pixel phone with a bunch of AI features on it this week as well. I mean, like, I don't think that's really a leak. I think they're pretty locked down tight on some of those things. It was seen that Ive and Altman were meeting up. Google just suddenly released some stuff about this new AI phone that they've got. But I don't know. I'm pumped. I think that's going to be cool. I'll be down for that, especially if it's like not so screeny, if you didn't have to use your screen so much. I would be really, really into that. And I think a lot of people will be. I think the tide is turning on screen usage. But people know that they want technology, but they don't want to be glued to their screens the whole time. So I'm interested in what they're going to come up with. Hey, thank you for listening. Hit me up in the show notes. I'm putting my email there if you want to give me some feedback or you want to get in touch. And please, as always, like, subscribe, hit it up, share it with a buddy. Thanks, man.